السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلنا في قرية من نذير إلا قال مترفوها إنا بما أرسلتم به كافرون. وقالوا نحن أكثر أموالا وأولادا وما نحن بمعذبين. قل إن ربي يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa and those listening over receivers, this morning when I was making tilawat of the Quran Sharif, then I came across this verse and the desire came to say something with regards to this verse. So I'm not going into tafsir, as I have mentioned that this program, we can't do tafsir of the ayat in detail. But this is something that we have discussed in Surah Kahf also. And many, many places in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala tries to give the mizaj, the temperament, the nature of the kuffar, of the mushrikeen, of the disbelievers, that what was their nature, what was their thinking, what was their ideology, what opinion they held of the messengers of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and what was that yardstick by which they measured Allah Ta'ala's happiness or Allah Ta'ala's anger and displeasure. They also had some kind of yardstick. They also had some kind of gauge they used to use to measure Allah Ta'ala's happiness or Allah Ta'ala's displeasure. But it was very different from that which the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam had brought from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That gauge that they were using was completely opposite of that which the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam were informing the people about. So of the many, many ayat in different places, so this morning in the tilawat, in this verse Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَذِيرٍ. Never did we send a messenger to any town as a warner. Never did we send as a warner any messenger. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not send as a warner to any town, any people, any population. إِلَّا قَالَ مُتْرَفُوهَا. Except that the people who had wealth, who had some kind of power, those people who were in rule, those people who were in affluence, they had plenty of money, plenty of gold, silver. They were people of wealth and property. So what did they say? They said that this, what you have brought from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we don't believe in. Straightforward. Whatever you are telling us, we don't believe in all that. Qiyamah, Jannah, Jahannam, life after death, resurrection, all these things, who saw? Nobody saw. So we don't believe in all these things. We believe that once you turn to dust, then it's all over, finish. Or unless, of course, the person believes in reincarnation. Then the whole philosophy of reincarnation is that somebody committed the sin in the past. So again he comes, he gets another life. And this time, because of his bad actions, now he will come up as a bad person. Or he will have misfortune. And if he did some good actions, then he comes up again, he gets born again. But this time he enjoys the fortune and the wealth and everything else. So how does this person know that he is being punished because of some sin that he committed before he died in the other life, in the life that's went past, he committed some sins. So now the punishment is that he is born now, is given another life, and this life now he is going to go through some difficulties, so he is born a bad person. So how does he know that that is what I was, that is why I have been born again? Does anybody know that he was born again because of that in this particular condition? Nevertheless, so this resurrection and Jannat, Jahannam, Qiyamah, they say all these things we don't believe in. What we believe in is that this worldly life comes to an end at the time of death, and after that it's all over. There is nothing after that. And together with that, that yardstick that I'm talking about, that gauge that they used, by means of which they measured their esteem and their worth in the eye of Allah Ta'ala. Now this is the lesson for all of us. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said that, what did they say? وَقَالُوا نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ أَمْوَالًا وَأَوْلَادًا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ. That as far as wealth is concerned, children are concerned, then we have more than you. They told the Nabi straight, that you are Nabis of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, but we don't see you having that much wealth, we don't see you having that kind of homes, we don't see you having that kind of palaces and bungalows, and we don't see you having that kind of support and that kind of manpower, as they talk about, and those kind of votes that we have, we don't see you having that. We have more of this. We have more children. We have more wealth. So punishment will not come for us. There's no punishment for us. If Allah Ta'ala was displeased, if Allah Ta'ala was unhappy, if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wanted to punish us, then why must He give us so much of prosperity, affluence, material wealth? Why must He give us all these things? And this is the mizaj, this is the nature of mankind today, generally. We're not talking about exceptions. But if you travel throughout the world, you will find that this is the mizaj, this is the thinking. That you talk to anybody who is sinful, disobedient to Allah Ta'ala, way out from deen and sharia, he has got just a Muslim name, he doesn't have anything to do with namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. Na namaz hai, na roza, na zakat hai, na hajj. To khushi phir uski kya hai, ke koi gent hai, to koi judge. So now the person doesn't have anything to do with namaz, roza, zakat, nothing. But he's the director general of some oil well, or this person is in affluence, and he's got high posts and positions in the economic world. So now this person straight away thinks that my Allah cannot be displeased with me. Allah Ta'ala is extremely pleased with me, otherwise He would not have given me all these things. And they are the ones who reject the ayat of the Quran Sharif, the teachings of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam. When you talk to them about hadith and Quran Sharif, then you will get mockery, you will get teasing, you will get laughter, you will get joke, you will get rejection. Why? Because there's plentiful to eat and plentiful to drink and plenty to wear and beautiful cars to move around and planes to travel around and jets the person owns. So now the person, he can say what he wants. He will make statements of kufr, of shirk, of anything. And he will make a mockery of deen. Why? Because he feels that when I'm going to go back home after meeting this person who is inviting me towards deen, then he doesn't have as much as I have. So therefore I've got no problem. But then that is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has been discussing throughout the Quran Sharif, the nations of the past, that how they went up and when they rejected, how Allah Ta'ala sent some storm, send some earthquake, send some flood waters, or send some gale force winds, or sent a screeching sound, or all the different kinds of azabs and punishment that came, and how Allah Ta'ala wiped them from the surface of the earth. Now we are seeing it happening in America and other parts of the world, that those people who are proud and arrogant because they said, we are a superpower, superpower. I mentioned after return from America some years back, in fact I returned on the night, on the eve of that 9/11. So I mentioned that anywhere you travel, the only thing you hear is that we are a great country. We have great wealth. Our army is great. We are a superpower. Our gardens, our buildings, our towers, everything great, great, great. And those who claim greatness, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala destroyed them. I mentioned this before too, that the invincible armada, they called it. The Spanish called it the invincible armada. And that was the armada or army that was defeated. When they called the Titanic the unsinkable ship, Allah Ta'ala caused it to sink. First journey, maiden voyage, it sank. And yet they said that it is the most sophisticated. When our famous Muhammad Ali claimed, I am the greatest, then he was knocked down. One punch and he was down. Allah Ta'ala cannot stand anybody claiming greatness. Allah Ta'ala is the only one who is great. When the person humbles himself, yes, Allah Ta'ala then raises him. So these people, this is what they said. They said that we have got more wealth than you, we have got more children than you, then what are you asking us to obey you and listen to you? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then replies to them, that قُلْ tell them, إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who enlarges the risk for whomsoever He pleases. That He will give how much He wants to whomsoever He wants. That is not the yardstick, that's not the gauge by which you measure the love of Allah Ta'ala for you. Allah Ta'ala gives to the kuffar, He gives to the mushrikeen, He gives to the Yahud, He has given to the Yahud so much that the whole world's wealth put together doesn't match the wealth that the Yahud have. The Jews, what they own, put all our wealth and properties and everything, all the fortune together, we can't match it. So does it mean Allah Ta'ala became extremely pleased with them now? Dushmano ko ae shab o gil diya, aur dosto ko apna dard e dil diya. Dushmano ko ae shab o gil diya, aur dosto ko apna dard e dil diya. Unko sahil pe bhi tughyani mili, abko tufano mein bhi sahil diya. Ha, how beautiful of our lives. Dushmano ko ae shab o gil diya. Allah Ta'ala gave them for a little while to play around with toys. Give them toys. Our children play with toys and they say, this is my BM, this is my Merc, this is my Rolls Royce. Or when they're playing Monopoly, they say, I own this block and I own that whole street. And they fight over it. We too used to fight. Now we laugh. You stole my property, you stole my property. At the end of the day, it's paper that you're playing with. Or they build castles on the sand. That person says, I've got so many rooms and so many lounges and so many big, big kitchens and everything else. And one little child comes jumping and he tramples that whole castle. Now they're fighting. You broke my castle. You destroyed my castle. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Dushmano ko ae shab o gil diya. Aur dosto ko apna dard e dil diya. Oh, my friends, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, I give them dard e dil, muhabbat of mine, that love of mine. Under all conditions they enjoy palaces and gardens in those hearts. Under all conditions. Conditions of adversity, conditions of war, conditions of prosperity, conditions of weakness and sickness, conditions of wealth and prosperity, anything, but they enjoy gardens in their heart. Why? Because they got the Khaliq of gardens in their hearts, which you have heard many, many times. Mana ke meer gulshan e jannat to dur hai. Arif hai magar dil mein khaliq e jannat liye hue. O Mir, I know the gardens of Jannat are far away. But if you are an Arif, then the Arif of Allah Ta'ala, He has got the Khaliq of those gardens in His heart. So Allah Ta'ala says that this is not something by means of which you measure that how close you are to Allah Ta'ala and how beloved you are to Allah Ta'ala, that He gives to everybody. Okay, as Hazrat says in that poetry, He says, Unko to tufano, unko sahil pe bhi tughyani mili. On the shores they found disaster. Storms, even on the shores. And in the midst of storms, we found sahil, we found the shore. Peace, contentment. So he says, tell them that this enlargement of the risk to provide in abundance and to restrain and restrict it, that is Allah Ta'ala's prerogative. He can give to whomsoever He wants. And this is not something that by means of which you measure that how much Allah Ta'ala is pleased with or is not pleased with. Because that Allah Ta'ala gives to everybody. But then, in the ayat that's coming after that, again Allah Ta'ala says, even His servants, sometimes two conditions come on them. The different tafsirs, one says that two conditions can come. The person can be in affluence, he can be enjoying the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, and suddenly Allah Ta'ala takes it away as a test, so that He gives him a test of sabr. And when he is patient over those calamities, those disasters, and the tightening of the risk, then Allah Ta'ala takes him out again and gives him high rewards. As long as he's not disobedient to Allah Ta'ala, in whichever condition he is. So this is something that you've noticed wherever we go, that the mizaj of the people has been made, that we check the person's closeness to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says that your wealth and your children, they don't bring you close to Allah Ta'ala even by a degree, nothing. It don't bring you close. It's not that it brings you close. So neither does wealth bring you close, and neither does wealth becomes the means of your becoming beloved. What makes you beloved of Allah Ta'ala is the person who has iman and he does righteous deeds. And that is what is coming in the ayahs that follow, but I'm not doing tafsir. That iman and amal-e-saleh, Now that wealth will become the means of closeness of Allah Ta'ala. The person has got iman and is doing righteous deeds. He's earning the wealth in the proper way and is spending it in the proper way. On his children, on his family, on the poor, on the needy, on the destitute, on masajid, madaris, for the refugees and for whoever is in disaster areas. So now this person, his wealth now became a means of closeness of Allah Ta'ala because of his amal. That amal-e-saleh which he did, that righteous deed which he did. Now that is what made him close to Allah Ta'ala. So the wealth was the same. The kuffar, the mushrikeen, Yahud, Nasara, they also had wealth. And it's no different from that wealth which the Muslim will have. It's not that the color of the oil from the oil well of the Muslim will be different from the color of that of the Yahud and Nasara. It's not that the car, or the ship, or the plane, everything in which a Muslim sits, it will be different from that which the Yahud and Nasara will sit. But it is that amal or that righteous deed which makes him close to Allah Ta'ala. So then even if that person is a sultan, if the person is a king, the person is a ruler, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Sultan-e-Adil, the just ruler. On the day of Qiyamah, he will be under the shade of the throne of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he has reached that very high position with his wealth and with his rule and with his government. And he has also become like a superpower. But because he recognized Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and he did righteous deeds, so those righteous deeds now made him close to Allah Ta'ala. But generally our attitude is this, that a person, his son, his child, his family member, or he himself sometimes, it's got nothing to do with masjid, and from deen, and zikr, and tilawat, and ibadat. But if you have to ask him, that how's everything, then the person will say, Allah Ta'ala's favors upon me, unlimited. And I can't tell you how well I am doing, and how I'm prospering. And so now he considers all that as prosperity. But that is all a long rope that Allah Ta'ala is giving. Sooner or later he's going to pull it. Or in the akhirat definitely he's going to suffer. So, maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi. Maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi. Tujhko dozakh ki musibat se chudane ko nahi. Maal o aulaad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi. Tujhko dozakh ki musibat se chudane ko nahi. Juz amal qabr mein koi bhi tera yaar nahi. Kya qiyamat hai ke isse tu khabardar nahi. Now you have heard this many times, but it must become the haqeeqat of our lives. That maal o aulaad, they are not going to help in the qabr. But if we make them, turn them, convert them to righteous deeds, then it will become very, very helpful. That same wealth, those same children will become sadqa jariya for the person. They will make dua for that person. When they will read Quran Sharif, these people will continue getting sawab. Or whatever righteous deeds they do, they will continue getting sawab. So it is the amal-e-saleh which makes the person's akhirah. We have to convert, make it into amal-e-saleh. It is like the blood of the mother. That the blood of the mother, if you give a baby to drink, he can't drink. But when Allah Ta'ala converts that blood to milk, now it becomes nourishing. Now it becomes nourishing and the child is flourishing. So that blood was not nourishing. If the mother's breast had to give blood, you think the child will survive, it will die. But Allah Ta'ala converted it and made it into milk. And now that milk is becoming nourishing for the child. So this maal, awlad, everything is like that blood. Now convert it to milk. Then it will nourish the person in the akhirat. It will nourish him in the qabr. It will nourish him, take him to Jannat. Suddenly one incident came about. Sultan, I mentioned Sultan. So listen to this one incident and we'll conclude there. Sultan Tipu, those who have read his history, is a very, very pious Sultan. He was an absolute ruler of the Mysore district. In those days, all the big, big provinces that they had in the British time. But it was again the same British scheming and plotting and planning, and they paid people and they bribed people and they somehow got him Shaheed. That is why he's known as Sultan Tipu Shaheed, Rahmatullah Ali. But without going into the details of his history, The thing is, he was a very pious sultan, and this is what I'm trying to get at. That it's not that if a person is very rich, so now he is definitely condemned to the fire of Jahannam. That's again another extreme. Allah Ta'ala can give a person plentiful and still give him shade of the throne of his arsh. Or the throne of his arsh. So this Sultan Tipu, for 18 years his father ruled over Mysore. Now they call it Mysore. But that Mysore sounds like you got some saw on the body and talking about Mysore. So that's why that Mysore sounds better. So he was ruling over that. 18 years his father ruled and 18 years he ruled. And he built one masjid, very beautiful masjid. It's still there. Those who went to Mysore, you can see it, Masjid-e-Ala. Now that masjid he built. And then came the first day of the opening of that masjid. So he came to the masjid and he announced, he said, now Alhamdulillah, the masjid is completed and I have built it, he says, so that Allah Ta'ala may become pleased and give me Jannat in the Akhirat. That is why I built it. He said, that's all. Not for name, fame or anything like that. And then he said, now the first namaz in this masjid, I want a person to lead whose namaz never became qaza in all his life and he never missed his tahajjud all his life. Now big mufti sahabs and qari sahabs and huffaz and haji sahabs and allama sahabs and everybody all there. Somebody's namaz became qaza, they made the qaza. Somebody never made the tahajjud for 20 years and then started. But from the time the person became of age up till that time, he said no namaz became qaza. And no tahajjud became qaza. So they waited, looking around, nobody's going forward. He said, I did not want to reveal this secret, but if Allah Ta'ala desires that I must reveal it, so now I have to reveal it, that I never made one namaz qaza, and I never missed one tahajjud in my life. And then he went forward and made Allahu Akbar. Now that was a sultan and a king of the time, a ruler over such vast territory. And look at his position. So now can we say that the person, because he had plentiful, that's why he's condemned? This was the kind of sultan. That is why that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, summa alladhina yalunahum summa alladhina, was sultanu zillullahi fil ard. Man ahana sultan Allah fil ard ahanahu Allah. Now before they should read it in the khutbah. But now they say those sultans are not left anymore. Those kind of sultans. Now we only have sultanas which taste sweet sometimes. But the other sultans. Sultan sweetness is gone now. The sultana sweetness still remains a little bit. So they say that, so they don't read that now anymore because of that. But otherwise they were such kind of sultans. They were Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's hujjat on earth. So he read the prayer. So in his life it is written that on one occasion he went to, now Mysore, the Mysore, those jungles, like how we have our Kruger National Park, those, they are very famous for their elephants, for the lions and for the big five, you find them there too. So when he just became, when he was a young person, still just in his teens, so he took the gun and he went and he shot a lion. He shot a lion. He knocked down one lion. Now when he came and informed his father was also a very pious person. Now he was not yet sultan at that time to this Sultan Tipu. But his father was also very pious. So he went to congratulate the mother and told the mother that, you know what, your son, they say he shot a lion, he knocked down one lion. And at this age of his, and look at his strength and his courage. And then he said that it is better that you live a life of a lion for one day than that you live the life of a vulture or a fox for 100 years. It is better you live the life of a lion for one day than that you be a fox for 100 years or vulture for 100 years. So nevertheless, so he went to congratulate his mother, Sultan Tipu's mother, that means his wife. So when he went to congratulate his wife, he says, look at our son, how Allah Ta'ala gave him this courage, and he went and shot a lion, and he came. So his mother first smiled and made shukr of Allah Ta'ala, and then she started crying. So his father, Sultan Tipu's father, he said that this is very strange, your smile and your, that is believable that you got very happy, that your son is courageous, he's full of strength, and he's got that kind of capacity, that is something that we can understand. But what is this crying for? So she refused to say. She says, no, don't worry, nothing, that just happened. She says, no, you must tell me. She said, now again the same thing. Like how he said, Sultan Tipu said, that I didn't want to reveal this ibadat of mine that I never missed a namaz and I never missed a tahajjud. Like that, his mother said that now that you are forcing me to say why I cried. Now his mother is telling to his father. He said, the thing is this, that when he was in my stomach, I carried him for 9 months. And at that time I made sure that I didn't commit any sin. I tried to remain away from anything that was displeasing to Allah Ta'ala. I was very, very particular of what food I ate, what went into my stomach. I was very particular that nothing haram must go into my stomach, because my child is being nourished in my stomach. The first thing is that halal. I was particular that it must be halal. And of course, the husband was a very pious person. So he will bring nothing else but halal in the house. Then she says he was born. When he was born, she says, you are congratulating him, thinking that you did something great. But in reality, she says, winter or summer, rain or storm, whether I was sick or I was well, whatever my condition, whenever he cried for milk, she says, I got up from my bed, made wuzu, and then I nourished him with my mouth. Sometimes, she says, it was extremely cold weather, and I could have nourished him, I could have given him milk, but I, 2 years, she says, I gave him milk, irrespective of what kind of condition came upon me, but I never ever gave him milk without wuzu. Now this was not farz, it was not wajib, it was not compulsory, but these kind of mothers produce these kind of children. Today the mother holds the baby in the lap, glued to the television, watching all the haram there, and feeding the baby also. So what is going into the baby? Or the type of things that we are eating, the type of earnings that we bring and give to the wives. Then after that we say the children are becoming rebellious. Now look at this mother, something that was neither farz nor wajib, it was not compulsory. But look at the difficulties that she must have undergone, the trials, extremely cold weather. The mother gets up, makes wuzu, and then gives the baby milk. So that is what I was saying, that yardstick is not how much you have or how much you don't have. The person can have plentiful and he can be a Sultan Tipu. The person can have plentiful and he can be a Sultan Adil, just ruler. The person can have plentiful and yet not one namaz is becoming qaza. And not only namaz, even tahajjud not becoming qaza. And on the other hand, the person can have nothing, but yet he can sleep through all his namazes and he can be negligent, he can be disobedient to Allah Ta'ala, yet he has nothing, but is full of arrogance and pride. And the third person can be the person who's got nothing, but he's got obedience to Allah Ta'ala. He's a poor person, but he's obedient. In whatever he has got, he's obedient to Allah Ta'ala. There's no stealing, there's no fraud, there's no crime. The person is not indulging in haram. So now even if he hasn't got anything, he's still close to Allah Ta'ala. So it's Iman and Amal as Salihah. Simple as that. Islam is practical, simple. It's not difficult. It's just a matter of technology, conversion. So much of technology we have now, they convert what to what nowadays. So that's all. We have to convert everything to Amal as Salihah. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you, and the Ummah the Tawfiq of Amal. So we must get that out of our heads, that's the yardstick. The moment we see somebody's big bungalow, big palace, then finish, Allah Ta'ala is extremely pleased with that person. And when we see somebody's heart, then no, Allah Ta'ala can be never be pleased with that person. We must not have our nazar on these things. Our hearts must have nothing but Allah. Masi wa Allah must be out. Look at Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat and look at what is His pleasure. In what is His pleasure should be our pleasure. In what is His displeasure should be our displeasure. That's all. Then we will also get sukoon in our hearts. Otherwise our hearts will also burn. Every time we are going to look at their wealth and properties and everything else, what the disbelievers have been given, then our hearts will also burn. And then the renis and all other antacids are not going to help that heart burn. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا ارحم الراحمين يا اكرم الاكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث او ماي بيلوفد الله او ماي رحيم الله او ماي كريم الله او ماي موست فورجيفينج الله most loving Allah, most compassionate Allah, most tolerant Allah. Forgive each and every one of us. Oh my beloved Allah, bless us with istiqamat in our deen. Ya Allah, cause Iman and Islam to penetrate the depths of our hearts. Oh my beloved Allah, make us true believers in you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Make us true believers in the Akhirat, on Qiyamat, on Jannat and Jahannam, Ya Allah, on Mizan, on Pul Sirat. Make us true believers in everything that your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought from you. Distance us from everything that is haram. Distance us from everything that is disliked. Everything that is displeasing to you and your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, we have rebelled against you. We have sinned all our lives. We have pleased the whole world, but we have failed to please you. Ya Allah, we are using your bounties, your ni'mats for your displeasure. Day and night we use the bounties of sight, of hearing, of speech for your displeasure. Our wealth for your displeasure. My beloved Allah, change the condition of our lives. Change the condition of our lives. Hamari zindagi ka hal badal de. Mere maula ab to badal de. Kab tak hum gunegari ki zindagi guzarenge? How long are we going to walk the path of sins? How long are we going to walk on the surface of the earth like hypocrites? Ya Allah, change the condition of our lives. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de. Khuda ya fazl farma dil badal de. Ha mere Allah, tujhe chhod ke hum gande jaye kahan? Where do we go, my Allah? Whether we go east or west, north or south, up above the heavens or deep down the ocean, it's all your kingdom. Ya Allah, don't reject us. Don't turn away your glance of rahmat and mercy from us. Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Put the love of good deeds into our hearts. Put the hatred of sins into our hearts. My beloved Allah, bless us with good health, spiritual and physical. Those who are sick and ailing, whether they are amongst us, or in hospitals, or homes, or clinics, or wherever they may be. Bless them with shifa. Ya Allah, unko sehat tamma, kamila, ajila, daima, mustamirra naseeb farma. Bless us with physical health and spiritual health. Clean our hearts of all the impurities that have embedded itself. Bless us with the hearts that you give to the awliya-i siddiqeen. With your power of jazm, make us all yours. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove the difficulties. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are planning for hajj, make it easy for them to undertake the pilgrimage. Make the pilgrimage maqbool and mabroor. Ya Allah, those who are on journeys, make them reach the destination safely. Those who have passed away, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Overlook their sins and shortcomings. And when the time of our departure comes, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, adultery, fornication, popping drugs in our mouths, bottle of wine in our hands, or any kind of haram action. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Take us to Madina Tayyibah. Madina Tayyibah mein salamati deen aur salamati aza ke saath shahadat ki maut naseeb farma. Jannatul Baqi mein dafan naseeb farma. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah. Let our janazas be in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Imam says, Allahu Akbar. My beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listen to the takbir and say, my ummati, sinful one, is proceeding, forgive him. Ya Allah, if it's not muqaddar there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. Ya Allah, accept all the works of deen that are taking place. Tabligh o da'wat ki mehnat qubool farma. Unke ijtimaat, gash talim ko qubool farma. Masajid, madaris, khanqa, tamam deeni kaamon ko qubool farma. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Our parents with that goodness. The ummat with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, especially the fitnas of Dajjal, protect us, our wives, our children, our parents, and the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the desires, the aspirations, the wishes that are in the hearts of each and every one who have raised their hands before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, whether men, women, children, old, young, whosoever has raised their hands, you are well aware of what are their heartfelt desires. Ya Allah, unki tamam nek murado ko pura kar, fulfill all their good wishes and desires. And you are well aware of their difficulties, their hardships and their problems. Ya Allah, remove their difficulties, hardships and problems. And that of the entire ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.